Amen. Praise the Lord. This Wednesday,
first Wednesday in June.
Yep. We keep moving forward. We praise God to still be in the land of the living. Amen. David said, I have fainted unless I have believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. The goodness of God is not for the by and by only. Amen. Amen. God wants to show us goodness while we are right here in the land of the living. Amen. Amen. I thank God for that. Amen. Amen. While we are here, God is showing us his glory. Amen.
Yes.
Showing us the good things. And God is just good.
Amen.
Amen. Just showing us himself. So I thank God for that. Amen. That I don't have to wait. You don't have to wait. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven.
Right. Amen.
In order to see the goodness of God. There's a whole lot of goodness I want to see, and I believe God wants me to see right here.
Amen.
Amen.
Right here.
Amen. So we are going to be always stretching forth our. You know, the Bible talks about having faith. It talks about stretching forth our neck. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. We have that expectation of God doing something for us.
Yeah.
Our neck should be extended. You know, when you're looking for something.
Yes. Amen. That's right.
Amen. And so I'm looking for something. So if you see me, I'm not trying to see what you're eating or what you're reading. Amen.
Amen.
I'm looking for my blessing.
All right.
Amen. I'm looking for that goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. Tonight we're going to, we were here last week?
Yeah.
Tonight we are going to continue talking about hearing God's call as we continue to study Moses. Amen.
Amen.
Moses was called. Abraham was called. Jeremiah was called.
Amen.
David was called. Yeah. And you're called.
Amen.
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 We're all called. We're called by God to do certain things in this earth. Praise God. And God wants us to do great things in the earth. Amen. Amen. He wants you to make a difference.
Yes.
Amen. And you know what? There's going to be an answering for that too. God's going to call us to account. What did you do with the talent I gave you? Amen. And you're not going to be able to make. See, here's the thing. You can make all the excuses you want on earth. When you stand before God, those excuses ain't going to cut it. So, see, to me, I would rather not be good at excuse making and just simply get to stepping.
That's right.
Yeah.
Right?
That's right.
Just get going. But see, you think you're getting away now, but every one of us has to answer to God.
Amen.
What did you do? And don't even tell me about, well, you see, they didn't let me, nobody. God's not going to hear that.
Amen.
God's not going to hear that. Because see, God made you. And he knows exactly what he put on the inside of you. And he put it on the inside of you so that it can come out. And be a blessing to people around you.
Amen.
And if you come and stand before him and you still have on the inside of you all the things he gave you, you are just like that wicked servant who took the one talent and hid it in a napkin.
Wow. Yeah.
And said, here, you can have it back.
Amen.
And in the parable, Jesus said that the Lord said, you wicked and slothful servant. Amen.
Amen.
Letting us know God is not taking that. Right. Amen. Yeah. So we have a call. Amen. And you know, it's up to each one of us to search out God to find out what it is he wants us to do. And when you find out what God wants you to do, you don't need anyone else telling you anything.
Yes, amen.
Paul, when he was called to preach, he said after he was called to preach by Jesus, he said, I conferred not with flesh and blood.
Yes,
he said, I didn't even talk to nobody. Once I know, once God tells me what he wants me to do, I don't need to hear from anybody else. I don't need permission. I don't need authorization slips. I don't need notes. I don't need other people to understand.
Amen.
If God told me to do something, I'm doing it. And if no one else understands, well, hopefully God gives them revelation soon and very soon. But in the meantime, I'm getting going. Amen. Amen. Why? Because we have to answer to God.
That's it.
Amen. So we're going to look at the call on Moses' life. Amen. And as we do it, hopefully we will find out more about the call of God on our own lives. Amen. So let's pray tonight, and then we'll get into the lesson a little bit more. Father, we give you praise and we give you thanks.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here tonight, and thank you for your presence with us.
Yes.
Oh God, and Father, we ask you to manifest your presence even the more, God, by leading us deep into the scriptures, oh God, that Father, our hearts may burn with revelation.
Yes.
Father God, in the name of Jesus, we are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. And God, you said that we would come in that posture, that Lord, that we shall be filled. And so,
yes.
Father, we thank you right now by faith for filling us, oh God, with wisdom, with knowledge, with understanding, with insight. Father God, giving us what we need at this very hour, oh God, that we may live according to the perfect will of God for our lives. Father God, we just ask you to lead us in this discussion, oh God. Let your spirit manifest himself right here in this place, oh God. You are welcome here, Lord. And Father God, we submit to your authority, your rule, your leading, your power, your majesty. Father, we lift you up and we give you praise. In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so we were talking about God calling Moses, right? And we know that Moses met God at the burning bush. Scripture is interesting because it says that the bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. And Moses looked at it, and that caught his attention. Why isn't this bush burning up? And it said, Moses looked at it, and then he went over to find out, you know, to see what he can find out more. Well, why is it? Burning? And it was as he came over that God spoke to him. You know what that says? See, God is lighting fires all over the place. But some of us just look at it and go, that's interesting. And we keep walking. But those who are willing to stop.
Amen.
That's right. Praise.
Amen. Those who are willing to turn off the television, turn off the computer, and turn off the phone, and amen. Those who are willing to stop what they're doing. How many of you know Moses was over there working? And he was tending to his father-in-law's sheep at the time. But he saw something that commanded his attention. He said, I got to look at this. And because he stopped to see what God was up to, God spoke to him. Some people, they're not hearing God's voice because they're not stopping what they're doing to see what God's up to.
Right.
Sometimes you need to stop what you're doing
to
see what God's up to.
Amen.
See, because God is God, and he knows he's God. Mm-hmm. And he knows that he's worth us stopping to hear from him.
Oh, Jesus.
But if we're going to keep on going as if somehow God's supposed to chase behind us, I said, can I just have a minute of your attention? Then you got it wrong.
Praise God.
God is God.
Yes, he is.
And he wants you. He said what? Draw nigh unto me, and I'll draw nigh unto you. You got to come first. So see, when Moses started to draw nigh, then God spoke. Don't come any closer.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
So he called him, and he told him that he wanted him to. Amen. They got into a nice conversation. He told him, I want you to go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. He said, the cries of my people have come to me. Isn't that nice that God says that? The cries of my people come. Go tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And then Moses gets into a back and forth with him. I can't do that. Who am I? I can't speak. They won't listen to me.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
And God, you know, what's that in your hand? A rod. Throw it down. Turns into a serpent. Right? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Turns into a serpent. Right? Put your hand in your bosom. What happens? Turns leprous. Put it back in. Right? It's healed.
Yes. Amen.
And then finally he told him, he said, okay, after Moses keeps giving him excuses. Okay, here comes your brother Aaron. I'll put, you will tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron will be the spokesman.
Yes. Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
All right. So now let's get into some of the questions then. Let's look at question number one. Because it says here, when God called Moses, right, how does his call of Moses make him both a servant and a leader? Let's deal first with the leader part. How is Moses, you know, the call that is on his life, the purpose for which God is now making clear, Moses, this is why you're here. How is he a leader? Right? He has to lead the people. Right? Because God had called him to be the one to lead his people out of Egyptian bondage.
Amen.
Right? They were in bondage to the Egyptians for over 400 years. And now God says, okay, it's time for my people to be let go. I made a promise to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob that I was going to give them a land. But he also told Abraham long ago, that your people are going to be in bondage for 400 years.
Oh, yes.
But God's faithful, right? And so now he's going to keep his promise. So Moses is the one who's going to lead God's people out of bondage.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
Wow.
One day you're tending sheep.
Right.
You're flipping birds.
Wow.
You're delivering newspapers.
Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
You're cutting hair.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You're keeping house. You're driving a bus.
Right. I didn't know.
And God says on a particular day, I have something else for you to do.
Yes. Praise God. Ooh. Yes. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
And what a task, right? Lead my people out of bondage according to a promise I made nearly 500 years ago. All right, so he's a leader. How is he a servant?
He followed.
Yeah, he has to follow God, right? Because listen, all of us are servants.
Yes.
The model of leadership, really, is that Jesus modeled, right, is servant leadership, right?
Right.
He says that you know, who wants to be great among you? He said, let him be your minister or let him be your servant, just like the Son of Man came to minister and not to be ministered unto, to give his life a ransom for many.
Yes.
Jesus said, I came to serve,
Amen.
Not to be served.
Amen.
I came to give my life for a ransom for many. Not for people to be given unto me, but he was yet a leader, right? Because he's Messiah,
yes.
Right? But again, that servant leadership, Last Supper, what did he do? Wash the disciples' feet. He was ministering unto them, but he's still their leader, right?
Yes. Right.
If the model of leadership in the kingdom of God is servant leadership.
Yes. Exactly.
You have to serve in order to lead,
exactly.
According to God's way of doing things.
Right. Yes.
The world says if you're a leader, people are supposed to serve you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but in the kingdom of God, it's not that way. The leader has to be a servant.
Right.
And if the leader doesn't serve the people, then the people won't follow the leader.
That's right.
That's funny because, and this is where you can tell the church sometimes adopts the world view, because there's some leaders out there in the church who are dictators.
Oh yes.
And yet it seems like a lot of people follow behind. Why? Because they're following the world's way.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Rehoboam took over the kingdom after Solomon, his father, died?
Right.
And the people came to Rehoboam, and they said to him, your father was tough on us. We had to pay a lot of taxes. We had to do a lot of work. You need to ease up on us, son. And he went to the elders, and the elders said, if you ease up on them and you look after their needs, they'll be faithful to you forever. And then he went to the people he grew up with, his contemporaries. He said, what do you say? They said, tell them, if you think my father was tough on you, I'll be even tougher on you. You remember when he said that? He said, but my father put burdens on you in such and such a way. He said, I'll put it on you even worse. And he listened to the advice of his contemporaries, his friends. And when that happened, the people said, what do we have to do with the house of David? Take care of yourself. And they went away, and that's when the kingdom split. Yeah. 10 tribes in the north, and then Judah and Benjamin in the south. Mm-hmm. So why did the people leave? Because he said, essentially, you're going to serve me, and you're going to serve me as much as I want to serve. I want you to serve me. People said, no, I'm not. But the elders told him, if you care about their needs, they'll follow you all the rest of your days.
Yes.
Why? Because if you are a leader that shows people that you care about them, and you're willing to do for them, oh, they'll follow you. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Servant leadership. How many of you know Jesus is a servant leader, right?
Yes.
Moses was to be a servant leader. Okay, let's look at number two. Praise God. Moses is a shepherd tending the sheep of his father-in-law on the far side of the desert. What struggles might this new vocation have raised for him after having been an Egyptian prince? What do you think he might have felt? He grew up an Egyptian prince. Now he's on the wrong side. He's on the rough side of the mountain. Tending sheep. What do you think he might have thought? I mean, if that was us in the current form, right? We had a high-paying job,
right,
the comforts of life, and now here we are, and we're in a more meager existence. What might we think has happened to us?
We've been humbled.
Say again?
We've been humbled.
Okay.
Some people would think that God forgot about them, or like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
You know, like, me? Not me.
Yeah. It may feel like a demotion.
Mm-hmm. Being punished, yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I went from up here to being down here. That might feel like a demotion, a punishment. Forget, you know, God has forgotten about, God's upset with me, right? But yet the thing is, we talk about this, our prior life, everything we do, God is a God of purpose, you know, amen?
Yes, amen.
He's a God of purpose.
Always.
Which, you know, is like some of those things that sometimes we go through some hard times, or we don't know what's happening. We should pray that we can remember to ask God in times like that, what's your purpose in this? Instead of, why is this happening to me? Like that, you know what I mean? Because you can get an explanation as to why, but you still might not know the purpose. In other words, you might find the reason, but not the purpose. Right? The reason may be because I want you here. But that's not the purpose. Right? The purpose may be, I want you here because of blah, 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 blah.
Yes.
And God's a God of purpose, right? So watch this. So Moses being in the palace beforehand, it wasn't that God wanted to have him up there and then demote him. It's because there were some things that he was going to learn in the palace that now he'll be able to use in the wilderness.
Yeah. Yes.
Or in his dealings with Pharaoh.
Right.
He didn't demote him to walking or taking care of Jethro's sheep because he was trying to demote him. It's because he was preparing him for leading his people through the desert.
Right. Right.
So, you know, some of the things that we do in our early life may yet come back to our later life.
Yes.
And we'll connect the dots. Yes. Now I know why God had me.
Exactly.
Right?
Right.
Now I know. Why? Because he had a purpose.
Yes.
Amen. So it may not be a demotion, amen, because God always has a greater reason and a greater purpose for us here. Amen? Now, Moses goes and he meets God at the burning bush. Question 3 asks, what first impression of God do you think Moses has as he encounters him in the flames? And God speaks from the flames. So, I mean, put yourself there, Joseph. You come up to a burning bush. And you go over to there, and then God starts talking from the bush. And you think what?
Running.
Running?
That's not talking.
Why?
Because it's talking.
What if you know it's God talking? You still run? Joseph, this is God. You run?
I probably think it's somebody else or something. I'm like looking around the bush and there's like a
me
voice.
Me too, I
already
see.
Sorry,
I like that.
My eye, I'm not.
Good thing Moses didn't run. You know, he kind of ran with all his excuses. But, you know, any encounter with God has to leave us with a sense of wonder and awe.
Yes.
It has to. Because he's an awesome God. Even when he speaks to you, you know, even at times when God, you're reading your Bible and God speaks to you very quietly and gives you a revelation, you know he just told you something.
Yes.
You go, oh!
Yeah.
Every encounter with God, oh!
Because
he's awesome.
Yes, he is.
When he does things for people, when he keeps a promise, when he shows himself. Some of us sometimes, we can just be going about our business. We look up in the sky and we see God. When I say we see God, because we see his majesty. You look at the sky and say, look at that.
Amen.
Who could do that? Nobody could paint that. Look at God. God's awe-inspiring, isn't he?
He is.
He inspires awe because there's no one like him. There is no one like God. So when you meet someone that, and there's no one like him, oh, you remember.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Right?
Right.
Amen. How did God first get your attention? It wasn't burning bush. That's a question that part is. How did he first get your attention? What did he do? It said, how did God, is a question. Mm-hmm. If you don't have to answer if you don't want, but it is a question. It said, how did God first get your attention?
It's when we first started going to church and I just heard a voice, come in. You know, we saw the church on the corner, and I was like, okay. Then when I came in, I sort of felt like that was where I was supposed to be.
Yeah.
That was the first attention, yes.
Yeah. Now, for some people, you know, it's very, like, dramatic. I mean, it could be a very dramatic event. Mm-hmm. For others, it could be more simple. You know, for some it could be sudden. You know, they're in, living a certain life, and middle of the night, they turn on the TV, and the evangelist is speaking. Oh, God, I almost pulls them into stuff.
That's true.
For other people, it's more gradual. God talking to you for years. Get back in the church. Get back in the church. Get back in the church. You know what I mean? It's not the same for everybody. And we don't need to compare our mind to yours, yours to his to hers.
That's right. Amen.
Amen.
That's right.
Just be grateful you got one. Amen. Amen. Just be grateful you got an invitation.
Amen. Yes. That's right.
Amen. Amen. But God does, you know, he calls in different ways. Now watch this. Listen to number four. It says that God identifies himself as the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It says, how might Moses' view of God have been influenced by his growing up as a Hebrew in an Egyptian household among people who worship many different gods? I mean, he's growing up in an Egyptian household, and there's all kinds of gods.
Right.
Animals, mm-hmm. carvings, and right? Mm-hmm. Maybe he could think God just another one.
Right.
One thing I think about here is this. Let me ask you this. God says, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. Now, you think about, you know, let's say some children are out and they go, you know, that's my dad over there. That's my mom. Man is out. That's my, this is my wife. Woman's out. This is my husband. Right? Siblings out. This is my brother. This is my cousin. Mm-hmm. Now understand, each one of us has an identity ourselves. You're you. Right?
Yes.
But you're connected to somebody mm-hmm. where you can say, this is my. This is mine.
Right.
And it gives some context to who you are.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When I find out who your dad is, that adds to who you are.
Yes.
It says something about who you are. It gives me a little bit more information. You tell me your dad's Michael Jordan, right? That just gives me, that's whoa, right? God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now think about this. God is God. Mm-hmm. He don't need to connect himself exactly. with anybody.
That's right. Right.
Exactly. But yet he does. And by doing so, he tells us something about himself. The same way I tell someone I meet about myself, and I say, this is my wife. Because now they know I'm married.
She said, that's right. I like the way she said that. That's right.
So when we start identifying with other people, we give more information about ourselves.
Yeah.
And when God says, I'm the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, one of the things I believe he reveals about himself is, I'm a God of relationships.
Yeah, that's...
I'm a personal God. Because I identify with people.
Right.
He could just say, I'm God. He said, no, but he said, I'm the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob. What's he saying?
Yeah.
I have relation. I'm a God who has relationships with people. And for Moses, that has to be different. Because none of those Egyptian gods, I don't know if they had cows or moon or none of them gods could say that because they can't say anything. But what's he saying? I'm a living God that has living relationships with people.
Amen.
That's a different kind of God than anything Moses was worshiping in Egypt.
Amen.
So right away God was saying, I'm different. I'm glad God is different like that too, that he when he chose to identify who he was, He did it in connection or in the context of his relationship with people.
Yes.
I like that because know what that means? He wants to have a relationship with me too.
That's right. Yes.
What a privilege.
Amen.
Amen. That's why he says, I will be their God and they will be my people. That's how he wants, right? He wants to dwell with us.
I also think that God knows that he's so far above us that we need to take steps in order to understand where he is and who he is. So he identifies with us things that we can see, we can relate to.
Yeah, that we can identify with too, right, and understand. Because he's really so far beyond our comprehension.
Yes.
That's why we only know in part. But he does find those things. Even when you think about how Jesus taught in parables and things, how he uses the things that people could understand to make greater points.
Yes.
But I just love that God wants to be with us. He's a wonderful God. Amen.
Yes.
Let's go to question 5. So God tells Moses, here's your call. I want you to lead my people out of Egyptian bondage. Moses asks, who am I? What is he essentially asking God? Lead my people out here. Who am I?
Why me?
Why me? Right there. Why are you picking on me? I'm nobody. I'm a nothing. Mm-hmm. I can't do this. No one's going to listen to me.
Yeah.
And when he says that, God's response to him in chapter 3, verse 11 to 14, essentially is, I'll be with you. What's he saying? It's not about you.
Jesus.
Not about you. I'll be with you. And if I'm with you, guess what? They're going to listen to you. Amen.
Yeah.
God called you to do something. He's going to help you do it. Right? And it's not about you because it's about God's purpose for your life.
Yeah.
Right. So it's about him. He just needs us, really, in the end, to be willing participants.
Right.
To be obedient unto him. Follow his commandments. Right? Because he has a call, he has a reason for us being here on this earth. But we have to participate and cooperate in it. Right? Jonah ran. No, God went and got him.
God went and got him.
Yes, he did. God went and got him. But Jonah did run at first.
Yes, he did.
And God got him in a way of not saying, grab him by his neck and say, do what I told you to do. He put him in some very uncomfortable situations where Jonah had to say, okay, Lord, I'll do it. I tell you this, it's much better if you participate on the front end than on the back. But you can avoid the fish, the belly of the fish, amen?
That's right, do it.
Say yes, Lord, on the front end, your life will be better off, amen?
Right.
But God is patient, and there's nowhere you can run from God. Today they said, where can I flee from your presence?
Amen.
There's nowhere we can go that God can't find us. But Moses was like, but see, when God calls you to do something, though, this is why, if it's God, you should feel as if you can't do this thing.
Yes, amen.
At first, I want you to start a business. I don't know about starting a business. Mm-hmm. I want you to write a book. How am I going to get a book published?
Yeah.
I want you to write a song. I never wrote a song in my life. Yeah. Right? I want you to start a church. With what? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If that's not the first reaction, then chances are it's not God talking to you.
Amen.
But when he says to you to do something, it's going to be beyond your reach.
Supernatural.
So who am I? Well, he says, it's not about you, it's about me. Amen. If you listen to me, I'll be there for you.
Exactly.
And I'll fill you with everything you need to get the job done that I called you to do.
Yes, he will.
Amen.
Now,
yes, God.
I'm going to jump down to question number 7. It says, what useful, unique skills and experiences does Moses bring to his calling? Now, we talked about this, I think, a little bit last week. Let's deal first with his Egyptian background. How is that helping him with now, in relation to what God now would have him to do? The fact that he grew up in the palace as a prince of Egypt, how is that experience going to help him in his current assignment? How's that going to help?
He'll be able to, I guess it will drive him. He'll be able to drive the determination of where God is bringing him. I guess he didn't know that.
Okay. Let's think about it this way. Let's talk about what his assignment is. What's his assignment? Where is he being sent to?
To deliver the people.
No. Yeah. No. I don't mean that. What'd you say?
No. In the sheep, with the sheep, or wait, my mind confused. That,
okay, no, okay. God's calling him, right? And what's he calling Moses to do again?
To deliver his people.
Okay, and where does Moses have to go?
Oh, to Egypt. Bring the people out.
And more specifically, where is he going? To Pharaoh.
Okay.
God told him, right? Yeah. Go tell Pharaoh. Now, so how would his Egyptian background be any kind of helpful or relevant given where God's telling him to go?
Because Pharaoh knows who he is.
And
he'll be well spoken. He'll be able to speak on his level too, won't he?
Right. I mean, he's been there. But if Pharaoh knows who he is, then
he knows who
Moses
is.
No, that's the same thing. Okay. Pharaoh knows who Moses is, then Moses knows who Pharaoh is.
That's what I mean.
Right? Okay. In other words, okay. He knows me, and I know him.
I know him.
Okay, I got you.
And if I know him, then guess what? I'm going to come in there a certain way.
Oh, right. Amen.
Right. I'm not going to come in there going, oh, look at
that. Right, right.
Yeah. I've seen all this before.
Yes.
I know exactly. I know the hallways. Mm-hmm. I know the secret passages. Mm-hmm. I've seen the throne before. Mm-hmm. I know the protocol. I know how to stand. You know what I mean?
Right.
I know all this. But how does he know it? Because of his prior experience.
Right.
Isn't there something when you have prior experience with something?
Yes.
As opposed to you walking into a place for the first time.
Yeah.
Usually when you walk into a place for the first time, you're kind of like, you're a little reserved and you want to take it in and you don't know, oh, I can go over there? Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, well, you've been there before. You walk in, hey, how you doing?
Yeah.
Right? It breeds confidence.
Yes.
That familiarity. I know what to do. I've been here before.
Right.
So now he got confidence that he wouldn't have had if he hadn't grown up in the palace.
Right.
What about his experience as a shepherd of the sheep? How's that going to help him?
He knows how to lead.
That's right. That's one thing for sure. He knows how to lead. He knows how to protect. And he knows how to do it. Where?
In the wilderness.
Yeah. But guess what? That's where he's going.
Jesus.
Again. So you see what God, see how smart God is? Sometimes we just add, right? I mean, he's like, you're just so smart.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
You let me have 40 years in the palace of Egypt, so now I can walk in and I can say to Pharaoh, let my people go.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. I don't care all these people standing around here. I know all you cats. Mm-hmm. I'm talking to him right now, so. But think about your experiences then, right? You know, the experiences you've had in your life, they're related to what God wants you to be doing now and later.
Yeah.
Because there's nothing that, God uses everything,
yeah.
Right?
Everything.
God uses everything. Two fish and five loaves of bread, there's a whole lot of leftovers. Gather up the fragments that nothing be lost.
Yes.
Jesus ain't interested in losing nothing.
Amen.
You know what I mean? That's everything gets used.
Yes.
Our good, our bad, our successes, our failures.
Yes.
Friends and enemies.
Yes.
God uses everything, yes, right? Yes. What? That's why he says all things work together for the good. God puts it all in the pot and stirs it up and cooks up something good. Right? So everything Moses went through had a purpose behind it. Everything we're going through has a purpose behind it. Chapter 9, and then we're going to talk about a couple of things as we get ready to leave. Question 9 says, although God gives Moses an overview of all that will follow, because he told him what he was going to do to Egypt. He's going to do signs and wonders, right? He's going to come with a strong hand, and he's going to force Pharaoh to let him go. The people. Amen. Let the people. He told him what was going to happen. Moses still had objections, right? I can't speak. Who am I? They won't believe me. Now, what about us? Are there any reservations? And if so, what reservations do you bring when God tells you he wants you to do something? Think about the time when God told you he wanted you to do something. I know the Sunday school answer is, well, God told me to do it, and I just immediately started doing it. Okay, all right, so okay, thank you very much, Sunday school student. Now let's get to the real people. The real people who can say, well, you know, when God told me to do that, what? You jumped at it?
No.
What was your reservation?
Not qualified.
Yeah, that a lot of times that's one of the big ones, right? I'm not qualified to do this.
Mm-hmm. Not good enough.
I'm not good enough.
For me, something that happened, and you're going to hear that testimony. You have to hear it from the call, from the first call when I was asking about Sarah. And I felt out of place. I told sis, I said, I felt so silly when I got home. But 3 days later, that word Sarah fell into the conversation that saved a man's life. You got to hear this. But back to what you just asked.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're afraid to make that step to talk to someone that's a stranger.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't fearful, but I just said, I sat there and I sat and I knew the Lord wanted me to say something. Mm-hmm. It is an awesome, and it's going to be added in the book. Mm-hmm. I wanted the book done too soon, but nothing's a mistake. Nothing is a mistake. But I was fearful too, and not fearful, but I thought I could feel something wasn't right.
Yeah.
But he was quiet. He was quiet.
We can be looking at.
Know how to enter.
And in those situations, sometimes it's rejection or the prospect of rejection.
Yeah.
They may not want to receive this.
Right.
They don't want to hear this.
Exactly.
You know.
But God worked. God is awesome.
What am I going to say?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know. What if it doesn't work?
Right.
Sometimes we want to know it's going to work.
We want to make sure it works.
Right.
Yeah.
I want to know, you know, what if it doesn't work out? What am I going to do then?
Or is this really good? My another reaction I had was, God, I hear from you, but I hear from him in different ways. And I thought, is this God, but he would not let me rest. I was like sitting there and I was like in my spirit. It's just awesome. God is on time. And it was a route I never take. He had me there at the right. I mean, it's just an awesome story, but I got to get that testimony one day. I got to. But go ahead.
Now, we also, where's the money going to come from?
Yeah.
Money. Yeah. Everything's about money.
Where's it going to come from?
Yeah.
What if they don't believe? Mm-hmm. Is that you?
Yes.
We have all kinds of reservations sometimes. Amen. I don't have time.
Oh, big one.
I'm busy right now. When things slow down, when the kids get grown, when I retire.
That's like that song though. Tomorrow, yeah. I build my life.
But tomorrow may be too late. But we will have objections sometimes as God calls us to do a task. But now I just want to, as we close, I just want to offer some things for thought. Because see, knowing what God wants you to do is important. Wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
It's important that we know what God wants us to do with our lives. And you know, sometimes people just tell you, you know, you got to know what the call of God is for you. You need to know what the word of God is.
Yeah, they need to.
And, but, you know, for most people, and sometimes, you know, in the church, you're afraid to ask. You're afraid to ask something that you think you should know. If you make me feel like I should know something,
yeah,
I might be afraid to ask.
Yeah.
You should know, you got to find out what God's will is for your life, and that's what you got to do. You need to be in God's will. Yeah, okay. How do I get them? How do I find it? You know what I mean? And here's the thing, I think, first of all, we're coming in, somebody was talking about how they can find a church, and the advice they were being given was like, you know, the three-step program type thing. And, you know, my wife was listening to this, and she said, that don't sound too good after it was over. I said, not once did they tell it. Ask God where he wants you to be. The idea of what church am I going to go to, and that you ask God where he wants you to be, never entered the conversation. It was some kind of like, you know, well, look at this and consider that and look at this. I said, well, yeah, that, those are man-made rules and man-made procedures, which is going to lead to you figuring out where God wants you to be. You don't need to figure out where God wants you to be. You need to hear where God wants you to be and then go there.
Right.
But the idea of seeking God, oh, there's a concept. But we got rules, you know, we got steps.
Right.
Four or five steps. So the one thing I don't want to do here is to suggest that some of the things we're going to just consider as we close are steps. No, because the bottom line is God has a place and something for you to do.
Yes.
And at some point, in some way, somehow, he has to be the one to show you.
He will, too. Yes, he will.
So when you say, well, what's God's will for your life? Ask him.
Or
I'm sorry, I just have to finish. But here's the thing. But there are some things that we can do that helps us see what it is God has for us.
Yes.
In other words, listen. Like, what are the, like, for example, I think these are fair questions. What are some of the things that make you just feel, you know, this is it?
Wow.
You know what I mean? There's something on the inside of you that says, this is, because it's something that just, like, sings to someplace deep on the inside of you to go, this is it. Yeah, there's a, right, there's a connection. It makes you feel alive. What makes you feel alive? You understand? Because God's a life giver, right? Yeah. So what makes you feel alive?
Yes.
What when you're doing it, you just, and there's a, what, when you have that knowing, this is, it's a knowing that comes from God, a something that you can't even explain. You comfortable? A peace. Right? Sometimes you gotta look at what you're good at. Sometimes. Don't get carried away with it.
Let God show
you. Yeah, don't get carried away with it. But here's the thing. What you're good at, how are you good at it? Where it come from? Your talent, your gifts, your abilities came from God.
Yes.
Only.
Right? And understand something. God gave you those gifts, talents, and ability to use those things.
Amen.
So the thing is, when you find something you're good at, understand it's not by accident that you're good at that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right? There's some people who are very good at their with their hands. There's other people who are klutzes with their hands.
Yeah.
But they're good maybe with intellectual things.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? Yeah. So what are you good at? What do you enjoy?
Yes.
What just feels right? And I'm not saying when you figuring out like in your head, but these are just some questions that sometimes can help. Because people will say, I don't know. But see, the thing is, understand that God put something on the inside of you that he wants to come out. And here's the thing. Also, to understand that whatever those things are, he wants you to use it to help and to serve and to meet needs of other people.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
It ain't about you. It's not about you. God always calls you to do something. He called Moses, go for what? To lead my people out. Not, oh, I'm making you a leader.
Yes, no.
No, I got a job for you to do that's related to my people.
Right.
That's why it's so important for believers to be part of a church.
Yeah.
Because that's where you get your opportunity to serve. Yeah. To use your gifts, your talents, and abilities for his people. And for other people out there who need to become his people.
That's it.
You know what I mean? Because that gives him glory. Yes. Amen. I like what, oh, I just gonna say this. You know the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 10 that we are God's workmanship?
Yes.
We're his masterpiece. I'm a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece.
Amen.
You're a masterpiece. Amen. Look up in the mirror and say, look at this masterpiece. Just look at yourself in the mirror. Look at this masterpiece.
Amen.
See, now, if you're with somebody who doesn't understand the word, they're thinking, you know, you, uh-huh. You're kind of stuck on yourself, don't you? No, I'm just saying what God said.
Right.
I'm a masterpiece.
And when you have a love of your gift or what God has for you to do, no matter what it may be, well, if it's a love to your gift, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't even care if I get paid. Because I've been given things. And I tell you, there's nothing more glorious because that gift, it's just a gift that, you know. Ooh.
Yes, amen.
You know, you have to have a paycheck, but I'm saying you don't.
No, it's no question.
You don't
but that's not the thing that drives you.
No, right. And then you know that's the gift.
Yes. Here's another thing you know. See, here's the other part, though. The thing that you're called to do, if and when it becomes difficult, doesn't matter. You're still going to keep going.
That's right.
When you're called to do it.
Yes. Right.
See, so that's the thing. So when you find yourself in a difficult situation, but you still have the drive to do it, that could be a sign to you that's your calling. Right. See, because a lot of people, when things get difficult, if it's just a whim or a fancy, that's it. It's over. I'm doing something else.
That's it.
Right?
Yes.
That's right. If it's too hard or it's difficult, oh, I gotta do something easier.
Yeah, and that's.
See, that thing's not your call. Because if it's your call, you'll go through the difficult times. Because I'm going to read something to you, and then we'll leave on this. You're going to go through difficult times because, and that's going to be a sign to you, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I want to read something that Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9 and 16. I can find it here. Where are you, 1 Corinthians 9 and 16? He says, and this is New Living Translation, he says, yet preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. How terrible for me if I didn't preach the good news.
Yeah.
You hear what he says? He says, preaching the good news is not something I can boast about. I am compelled by God to do it. And then he says, how terrible if I don't do it. See, when it's that calling, I have to do this. Why are you still doing that? Why are you still knocking your head up against the wall? Why don't you? It's not working. I have to do it.
That's right.
And see, other people may not understand it, but the difficult circumstances doesn't make you back off. People are talking about you. People are getting, right?
Right.
And you say, I have to do this. That could be a sign to you that, see, when you feel compelled by God to do something, you are pursuing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
And the difficult circumstances don't matter.
Amen.
Amen. So listen, I mean, so these are the things, and again, this is not about trying to find it, because the bottom line is this, we're not trying to say these are steps, no. But these are some things that could be helpful as you seek God. Because God speaks in words, but he also speaks through circumstances. And sometimes we miss the meaning of circumstances.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And so there are times that God, show me what your call is on my life. Show me what your will is on my life. And then God will begin putting you in places where you can use your gifts, talents, and abilities, and people are being blessed and everything else. It could be in the church, it could be on your job, it could be in the school, it could be anywhere. But he's giving you an opportunity. All of a sudden, people are giving you opportunities. You find yourself being able to do some things. Projects come your way.
Yes.
People come your way. Exactly. And that could be God's way of, this is what I want you to do.
Right.
He may not have said a word, but through the circumstance. Mm-hmm. And he gives you something that now you're driven to like a moth to the light. And now, you know what I mean? And now you're going to realize, you know what? I'm starting to think this is what I'm supposed to be doing.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And we shouldn't be frustrated
and
about
that's
it.
God too, because he slowed you to think. You know what?
Yeah,
you know,
and we shouldn't be, and we shouldn't be in a rush.
Amen.
In other words, you know what? Just know this: God has something for you to do.
That's right.
And now search it out.
Right.
Right. You know, God, the Bible says something along the lines of, I know it's in Proverbs. I don't know exactly where, but it talks about how it's the glory of kings to hide a matter, but then it's the glory of man to search it out, or something along those lines. In other words, God may hide some things for us,
that's right.
Mm-hmm. But it's up to us to search it out.
That's right.
It's up to us to search it out.
Amen.
And we have to be diligent, persistent, and patient.
Amen.
And knowing that God's a communicating God, and he will. God's not going to keep his purpose for your life from you. Because he wants you to do it. So you just go with confidence. I know he's going to tell me, right? I know he's going to tell me. And, you know, again, one of those things that drive you forward, like you're compelled. You couldn't stop doing it if you wanted to.
Right.
In fact, there were times you said, that's it, I'm not doing this anymore.
I'm doing it.
And you find yourself back to doing it.
Doing it.
That could be... That could be that you know. You can't get away from the call. I'm not helping people anymore because nobody ever helps me. Next thing you know, God says 4 or 5 more people across your path who need help. And you can't help but help them.
That's right. That is so true. Yes.
There's something in your call that's about helping people. Teaching people, encouraging people.
And it's good to, you get so tired of your people, I, me. It's not you. It's not you at all. But
nope.
Until they really get that, to know that it's not even about them, nothing's going to change because it's not.
It's not.
It's not about me.
It's all about God, what he wants. So we pray to God. Listen, on Sunday, the next time we meet, right? I didn't make copies for next week. Okay. We'll have it Sunday. The lesson, you know, the lesson for next week. I love this. But we all have, it lets us know we all have a purpose here that's a great one. And God has something for us to do. And we're not here just to take up space.
Nope.
We're not here just to take up space. Use up resources. Breathe in air. Drink water.
No.
But we're here to make a contribution.
Mm-hmm.
We're not here just to take.
Yes.
We're here to give.
May I just make one more comment? And you hear even in the news, Everybody needs to listen and look, like you said, slow down. Because so many people are saying, oh, wasn't that lucky when that plane didn't go this, or that the baby didn't die? Lucky. It has nothing to do with luck. It's God. It's all God. Yeah. Things that are occurring today, but people are so busy, they're missing the whole concept of who really saved that person or stopped that. That's the way I feel. God.
And we have to, see, and God is present with us.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
And yeah. As we grow closer to Him, we look for Him everywhere.
Yes, I do. Amen.
And we see Him in more and more places than we ever have before. Because He's there. Amen.
Amen.
Yes. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank You.
Yes.
We thank You, Father, that we have a call on our lives. A call to do great things for You through Your power, by Your Spirit, in the kingdom of God, for people in the body and for people outside of the body. Father, we're asking You, Lord, to speak into our hearts, O God, with greater clarity, and let us know so that we can know that we know that we know what the good and acceptable and perfect will of God is for our lives. Father, we thank You right now that You have marvelous works for us to do. We were created in them in Christ Jesus to do it. And so, Father God, we thank You now, Lord, that just as Moses was called, so are we. We are called. Maybe not to do as great a thing as he did, but each one of us is called to make a contribution. Father, let us humble ourselves before You, yield to You and to Your Spirit, that You, God, may be glorified in our lives and the kingdom of God may be advanced on the earth. Father, we bless You for the privilege of being ambassadors for Christ. And we give You the praise for it in the name of Jesus Christ. God, we ask You now, God, as You continue to look down upon us with loving kindness and tender mercies, Father, continue to speak to our hearts. God, we are hungry. We want to hear more and more from You. And so, Lord, speak to us by Your Spirit, oh God, concerning anything else that we need to know concerning the call of God on our lives. And Father, we bless You in advance for it. Father, we ask now for traveling mercies as we prepare to leave. Father, guide us safely. Watch over us, oh God. Protect us through the night season tonight, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, we give You praise and we just thank You, God, that You continue to show Yourself strong, that You love us. And Father, we are not ashamed to say we love You. Right back. We give You the praise. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise.
It's a call on our lives.
Amen.
All to greatness.
Amen.
All
still making you some poetry.
Thanks for listening. This has been a teaching of the On Good Ground Christian Fellowship, where Minister Jeff Fennell is pastor. We pray that you have been encouraged by the word. Feel free to share this CD with someone, as faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. For more information on our ministry, visit the web at www.ongoodground.org. May the Lord God bless you real good as you continue your walk with Him.